Good evening and welcome to Jewish Dating and Family Life, hosted by Bela Seabrow. I've been a matchmaker, or as is popularly referred to, shadchan, for many years, and making shidduchim is very close to my heart. So I also organize large singles events, and I write a weekly column called Dating Forum. With us here tonight, we have Brad Berthes. And before I introduce our incredible guest, I just want to say that getting married is half the battle, but staying married is the other half. The divorce rate amongst frum people in all hashkafic circles is rising by leaps and bounds, including multiple divorces. Brad Berthes, who has willingly joined, thank you so much, Brad, and I just want to introduce you to our amazing audience. I've known Brad for many years, and he is a 41-year-old attorney residing in Cedarhurst with one adorable 10-year-old daughter. This divorce attorney is also a mediator, as well as traffic attorney for moving violations, and he also sits as an administrative law judge for the New York City Department of Finance, adjudicating parking tickets. Thank you very much for joining us, Brad.
Thank you.
You have a very interesting bio. Before we get started, my very first question is, it's the obvious. What is going on today? Why are people as young as 20 years old getting divorced? I mean, that's a question everyone keeps asking me. Why are so many people getting divorced?
I think it's an excellent question. I think, honestly, I think part of the reason is because as the saying goes, I think people think the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Mm, unfortunately,
right.
It's not.
No, when you turn grass over, there's dirt.
Exactly. I think a lot of people think that, you know, when the going gets rough, they move on. Many people don't try to resolve simple issues that sometimes escalate into deeper issues once they get divorced, and they realize that they probably were better off trying to resolve certain things, but they give up too easily. I think a lot of the things also are attributable to, as they say, sometimes in life, when you have things that are better, necessarily doesn't always equate that way. For instance, people think the internet is a wonderful thing in life. Unfortunately, it's become the opposite, and depending on how you use it, it could be a disadvantage. People are able to, you know, sit at that computer screen, meet other people, get into relationships that way, talk to people over the phone.
So are you saying that infidelity is a big contributor to from divorces?
I think absolutely. Yes, I do.
And would you say that that's an issue amongst young divorces as well? Or, I mean, is this happening in all age groups?
I think it's prevalent throughout. I think maybe the people that get married at a later age are more, not to say that people that are 20 are less mature generally, but I think they are. You know, I think a lot of people, you know, if they get married later in life, know what they want, know what they're looking for. They're more together in what they, let's say, accomplished on their own in their 20s and 30s, and if they settle down at a later age, I'm not saying that that's ideal or that's what, quote-unquote, the Jewish Orthodox world wants, but those people probably have a better chance of making it because they've been through the grind and they know what they're, you know, seeking, as opposed to people in their 20s. And I know myself a lot, and I'm sure you do as well, that a lot of the times they, you know, I've spoken to a lot of people, whether through personal relationships or dealing with divorces, that a lot of them say, I knew this was the wrong guy, I knew this was the wrong girl, and yet they felt compelled, forced, society forced them, parents forced them, relatives forced them, friends forced them, whatever the case may be. And they wound up getting into a marriage that they knew was doomed from the get-go. And eventually, you know, whether they stick out too long or not, the reality is that the divorce is inevitable and it usually happens. The people that stay in it, you know, aren't happy and, you know, they find ways not to be faithful in their marriage, which eventually leads to divorce anyway. So I think
problem. Right. So would you say that people who get married in their 30s have a better chance at staying married?
I believe so. I don't know statistic-wise.
Well, in your practice, do you find that the divorce rate is more prevalent in the younger age groups?
I find it in the if we're talking about Orthodox communities.
Well, I'm talking
find
about
it,
the Orthodox community. Yeah. I'm getting calls from people as young as 20 years of age seeking remarriage, and they're telling me they've been married for a year or 8 months or 9 months, which, you know, that means they got married when they were 19.
Correct. And I think part of it is we're not educated enough generally in marriage, meaning, you know, when, you know, in the Orthodox world, you know, most people, let's just say, go to yeshiva or a religious institution, you
right.
know, and they're taught, you know, after seminary, not after seminary, assuming they don't go
right.
or any high school that they went to, okay, get married at a young age, but there are no real classes to prepare people accordingly how to get married or stay married.
And so you're saying that young people should have classes, premarital classes, or rather classes before they even meet the person they want to marry. Is that what you would recommend?
I think in high school there should be classes that, you know, just like at math, you know, you should
right.
have classes.
Marriage classes.
Yeah,
how to
yeah.
stay married.
It doesn't mean that just because you have a class, you know, automatically that means you're
right.
staying married. But,
right.
you know, just like you could be taught math or science doesn't mean you understand the concept.
Right.
You know, but, yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, are just jump into it. They're like, well, this is the first guy that you know,
right.
reciprocates. Or the
yeah,
first girl
that people don't want to be the last one. And I know amongst young girls, being the last one in the group or the last one in the class to remain single, it's an embarrassment to them. So I do see that a lot where people call me up and they say, well, I have to get married. It has to happen now.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, well, what about finding someone compatible? Well, all my friends are married. Or the mother of a girl will say, all my daughter's classmates are married. Okay,
and
so
then,
are you calling
right.
me because all your daughter's classmates are married, or are you calling me because you're seeking the best possible compatible shidduch for your daughter?
Exactly.
So, you know, the answer is really both, but it doesn't quite work that way. And getting married is not about who gets first to the finish line. That's not what it's about. And unfortunately, when divorce does happen because people may be marrying for the wrong reasons, they come to you, you know, to unfortunately
right.
fix what's already broken. But what about when people marry for the right reasons? I'm also finding divorce, just as much as I'm finding the divorce rate increasing amongst young married people, I'm also finding that people are getting divorced later on in life. I'm getting calls from people who are in their 50s and 60s who are newly single. And in fact, I run singles events specifically for that age group too at times. Do you find that in your practice to be prevalent as well in the firm world?
I don't find it as much, but I do see where you're coming from or the calls that you're getting in that area, and I guess those are individuals that have been in dead-end marriages for years that just did not have the courage to move forward and get a divorce because either they just, you know, weren't financially able to make it on their own. And that goes from both ends, whether
mm-hmm.
you're, you know, male or female.
Well, yeah, getting divorced is expensive from a male perspective as well.
100%. And even taking aside the financial aspects of the divorce process itself, it's also the aftermath of, for instance, you know, a girl just talking about what we spoke about earlier,
right.
a girl getting married at 20 years old that, you know, may not have the, you know, education behind her or able
well,
to
years
make it
ago,
on her.
Well, years ago, firm girls did not become educated as they are today with all the programs they have going on. Girls have an easier time getting educated if they come from a more right-winged home. Years ago, all they had were the regular liberal arts schools or the private universities, and those who came from more right-winged homes would not want their daughters to attend secular schools, or, you know, mix with people who were different from themselves. But now it's very different. So you find all types educating themselves, you know, where years ago they couldn't educate.
Absolutely, and that is 1,000% true. But for the people that aren't, let's say, educated or don't have the a capability, or even if they do have the capability, they decided to have a family first before they decided to, let's say, go to school, it's all great if it works itself out and they're happily married, you know, may have a dream. But in the situation where the girls are, you know, getting divorced, like you said, either at a young age, the girls or the guys, for that matter, that are staying in it, they may be in a dead-end marriage for 15, 20 years, and then when they're 45, 50 years old, wake up and say, wait a second, I can't do this anymore. And those are the people that are coming to you, let's say, at 50, you know, years old and say, wait a second, I want a new hold on life. And maybe either they're in it too long, or some people I do know that do come to me, you know, wait for the children to graduate, let's say high school or done with, you know, with college. And then I'm like, okay, fine. Now let me find my second life, so to speak, and, you know, move on accordingly. So do I see it? Yes. But I find more that the people that I get are usually people in their late 20s, early 30s.
You know, it's interesting. You know, there have been cases where people have gotten divorced later in life because they were afraid it would hurt the shidduchim of their children. So they played along to the rest of the world. Oh, we're happily married, and as soon as the last child was sent off to the chuppah, that's it. You know, they're splitting. And I don't know if you're seeing this in your practice, but I am seeing a lot of multiple divorces. Do you find that in your practice?
I find occasionally I do. I find that when you say multiple divorces, you're saying
people who have been married twice, three times, four times, five times. I'm seeing this in the firm community. I have not seen as much as I'm seeing recently.
Okay, so I have seen, when I first started a number of years ago, not as much, but over the last number of years, I have seen that whereby people are divorced, I wouldn't say three, four times.
I have plenty of people in the single scene. You know, I run events, and I deal with hundreds of people at one time. And within one event, I could be dealing with 300-400 people.
Right.
And I interview them, and, you know, it's gotten to the point where I can't ask anymore, are you divorced or never been married? It's gotten to the point where I have to ask them after they tell me they're divorced, how many times? How many times have you been divorced? Or is this, have you been divorced once? It could be embarrassing to them, but if I don't know and I suggest them to someone and, you know, try to fix them up with another person, and, you know, they find out afterwards that the person that I'm trying to introduce them to has been divorced a number of times, it would appear as though I'm the one withholding information. I have to tell you, I've gotten myself into trouble many times. I had that even with young people. I had a situation not that long ago with a man who was not yet 30, and he had been divorced three times. And he told me he was divorced. And I assumed because of his age, it was a one-time divorce. And I introduced him to a young lady, and she found out that he was divorced twice. And then after further searching, she found out that he was divorced three times. And so when I asked him about it, he said, well, you didn't ask me. Well, it didn't occur to me to ask a young guy how many times he divorced.
Well, let me guess. She also found out that he wasn't 30.
No, his age was correct.
Oh,
okay. Let me tell you, I go through that too, you know. People will tell me, well, that they're 30 years old, and then they're really 50 years old. You know, they'll shave off, they'll subtract and do what they need to do.
Right.
But in this particular case, no, the guy was honest about his age. He just wasn't honest about the amount of times he's been divorced.
So, I mean, for myself, no. In my practice, just answering your question, I don't find it as much. I see it more in, like, my personal life and my own, you know, friends with people or knowing people from the divorce community, you know, myself, that I know, you know, people that are, you know, divorced, you know, more than once. But in terms of people that actually, you know, come to me, it's usually the people that are going through it once.
Right.
Occasionally you get the two, but that's about it.
Okay. For those who are tuning in, welcome. This is the Jewish Dating and Family Life Show with Bela Sebrow. I'm interviewing our wonderful guest, Brad Berfus, who is a divorce attorney. And we are talking about the reasons why people get divorced and how to stay married. So I'd like to talk a little bit about how one can stay married. Now, because you have seen it all, and I'm sure that your clients confide in you,
absolutely.
How would you advise people to stay married if they're going through difficulties? Because a relationship is really a partnership. That, for all intents and purposes,
correct,
a partnership. Now, partners have to work together to stay in business if it's a business partnership. Now, how can a couple who may be experiencing difficulties, whatever the difficulties may be, how can they stay married? What would you advise a couple in trouble to do? Because you're also a mediator, from what I understand.
Correct, that is true. So, first of all, a lot of the times, again, as the saying goes, there are too many cooks in the kitchen. A lot of times when things are going south, people are either asking too many people, whether it's friends or family, I can't deal with him, I can't deal with her, you know, what do
right.
I do, so to speak, and they get too many answers, and they don't know where to go.
Yeah.
My advice would be to either seek out, you know, one close friend to kind of talk to kind of see if this is salvageable, which, as they say, the fact that I'm a divorce attorney, or the fact that I myself, I'm divorced. It's not, as they say, rosy peaches out there in glory. You know, I mean, it's difficult for people that are divorced, and anyone that says anything to the contrary, regardless of whether people are like, oh, thank God, I'm done with him or her. At the end of the day, you didn't sign up to be divorced. So there's always difficulties in the divorce process.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a way to keep your marriage afloat, then I would, you know, obviously that would be the better approach. In addition to maybe seeking out a friend or, you know, someone, you know, a close family member, you know, to talk to, going to a marriage counselor or going to a therapist or, speaking to a rabbi, not 20 rabbis, but speaking to one, you know, rabbi that you feel you could reach out to and kind of like share your inner thoughts. But a lot of the times, even one-on-one going to a therapist, a lot of the things that one person may see as an issue or issues sometimes turn out not to be issues if you actually spoke to an objective third party.
Can you give us an example of what you would consider an issue really not an issue?
Right. I mean, you could say like, you know, something like whereby, you know, a sensitivity issue, a guy could say like, oh, she's overly sensitive or, you know, she's...
Well, that's a big problem. I hear that a lot. You know?
Right. But it depends on, you know, it depends on to what extent, meaning, you know, without stereotyping in general, we know girls are sensitive. It doesn't mean that guys aren't either.
Correct.
But to the extent of making it the focal point of, well, she's sensitive, therefore I want to end my marriage, or, she doesn't listen to me, or he doesn't listen to me, or, a lot of the times, let's say people are working and they have long days, and, you know, let's just say they come home and they have dead, whether it's the husband or the wife, and people sometimes jump to the conclusion like, oh, if you don't want to talk to me, you're not interested in me, or you don't want to spend time.
And then
time,
they start fighting about it, and before you know it, it gets out of hand.
Before you know it, just escalates.
They start, they start accusing each other of things that happened who knows how long ago, and
that
happened to their parents 25 years ago, you know, that one shared with the other. Yeah, they don't fight fairly. People don't fight fairly, you know, as they say, all's fair in love and war.
But they bring the past in, and
they bring
the past
in,
and just as long as you're on that, I always tell people, when you start bringing in the past, you can't move forward in a marriage if you're going to dwell on the past. If you really want your marriage to work, you got to focus on the present.
Stick to the focus of the problem.
The initial problem, exactly, without bringing up the past. You go you go back to the past, I believe you're doomed. And in order to keep a marriage afloat, to me, the two main components, obviously there are many factors within those two components, but it's trust and communication. And if you don't have those two things or one of those two are gone, you're coming to me, okay? Or you're coming to another attorney or mediator for a divorce. And if you could try to get through those two things, no one's perfect. Everyone makes mistakes. Everyone it's a learning curve.
Really, Brad? You're perfect. You're the perfect guy.
That's true. Other than me, of course.
Other than you, yes.
Thank you. But generally speaking, it's when you have two people that come from different walks of life, regardless of how connected they are in the dating process,
right.
It's a learning curve when you get into a marriage. And
absolutely.
And there's a learning curve even 5, 10, 20 years into a marriage.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, because people grow and they may not grow together.
Exactly.
Right?
And if you just, one of the things also that I would throw in terms of keeping it, I know a lot of people say, we fell out of love or we fell apart or we don't do anything together and the kids and the this and the that or whatever. If there's a way, to make it as hard as it may be to, have a quote-unquote a date night, go back to, when you were going out, reserve
right.
Thursday night, it's just husband and wife.
Well, therapists do recommend that. They do recommend people having a date night and pretending as though they're
supporting one of as a therapist also.
And, you could moonlight as one.
Maybe. You never know.
There's another issue, and this is a very, very sensitive issue, and I hear about this a lot. I did mention people withholding the amount of times they've been married. The other issue that I'm finding is quite prevalent in the from community is mental illness,
mm-hmm.
where people withhold mental illnesses. Do you find that to be the case in your practice?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that is... I put one and two together. Mental illness and adultery are the two reasons why marriages usually fail that I'm seeing in the Orthodox community. Sometimes they interrelate with each other, and sometimes they're completely separate. But in regards to mental illness, I find a lot of the times that the mental illness.
You're finding that it's because they've withheld the information, that they did not disclose the illness prior to the engagement or marriage or whatever it may be, or is it because they're acting out in the marriage itself?
I think it's more the fact that they had the mental illness prior. They
and
tried
did not
to cover
disclose
it up,
it.
And they didn't disclose it, and they were hoping for things to, either improve in that area or...
Well, they were hoping it would go away with marriage, right?
It would
right?
go away or
well,
the other
you know, there's
spouse.
There's a big misconception with many things and before one gets married. Unfortunately, there are families who believe that marriage is the cure to all ails, and it's not true.
They
unfortunately,
also believe,
it's not true.
Right, they also believe that having more children is going to make your marriage better. You know?
I've had many people tell me that they were having marital problems, and they went to their Rav, and their Rav recommended they have another baby.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate. That's
right.
It doesn't solve anything.
Right.
I mean, it's
no,
great to have children
not.
and grow the family, but it's not meant to cure the ills of the marriage.
Absolutely not. And, sometimes just on the mental illness part, the other spouse is aware, sometimes they're not, but sometimes they are aware of the mental illness of the other spouse and yet go into the marriage basically hoping either they're going to be the savior and they're going to be able to cure it, or because you're with me, you're not going to have the mental illness.
You find that to
be... I mean, they admit to it. I mean, they come
really?
In and they go, I knew,
This is amongst young daters or the ones who are a bit more mature?
No, I find it amongst young daters. I mean, I know people personally that knew, their husband prior, she knew straight out that, he had a mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
She found out not through the shotgun. It was actually found out through, friends.
Right.
She knew about it. She dealt
with
it.
Did she confront him?
Yeah,
or
she confronted
just...
him, and he naturally, he's like, what are you talking about?
He denied it.
Right, of course. And she knew. The red flags were there.
But if he denied it and she was so in love with him or infatuated with him.
Was she in love with him at 20 years old?
What does love mean? Love means different things to different people.
Correct. But, in a situation like this, I'm not saying a girl or a guy 40 years old, same situation, reverse it, same mental illness, you're aware of it. is going to jump into the marriage as well. You don't know, but regardless of age, a lot of people sometimes know about it, but at least in my practice, what I'm noticing is I've seen it both ways. I've seen it where they knew about it, jumped into it, hoped to kind of cure it. It never was cured, and then it's either the physical or the emotional abuse or both. Mm-hmm. Or by it's a situation where people aren't aware of it, and then, you know, it comes into play, and then they're
right.
like, what do I do now? And they're either scared to move forward, you know, who's going to want me at 22, who's going to want me
right.
at 32, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Yeah. No, exactly.
So
you know, I had a 22-year-old girl call me up last night. She's looking to remarry. She's recently divorced, and she says to me, well, who's going to want me? I'm 22 years old. Who's going to want me? I'm divorced. I'm competing with girls who've never been married. It
right.
broke my heart listening to her. She was so negative, but unfortunately, to some extent, she was right. She was right and she was wrong, because she needs that, only that one person who will recognize her for the qualities that she possesses. But it's shameful that she has to feel that way at age 22.
Correct.
Do you also find that people stop taking their medication when they get married? If they are on medication for emotional illnesses, do you find that once they're married, they stop taking the medication? Because I've heard of cases where they do, and that's why the other party was not able to live with them.
I find it here and there. But I don't. Are you saying that that's the cause why the divorce happened, or?
I mean, I do know of cases where the divorce happened because the person refused to take medication.
Right. So
they
felt, and
when questioned, the person said, "Well, I didn't feel right with it. I felt like I'm a zombie and didn't
right.
want to feel that way being married." So they stopped taking their medication, and whatever problems there were. Will definitely be, oh, for sure. They,
right.
They'll demonstrate all their problems and even
right.
worse because they've gotten off their medication. I would imagine it's twofold. The first problem is that the mental illness was withheld and the information was not disclosed.
Mm-hmm.
And the second part, I would think, is also because they're acting out and they're not able to live with a person that's uncontrollable.
So I do find it. I don't find it excessively in the sense that people come to me in divorce and say, hey, listen, I couldn't deal with him or her because, you know, they're off their meds. Does it happen?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's a lot more to, if a person like that comes to me and then I'm thinking about it, there's a lot more into the equation than just getting off the meds or not.
Right.
But I, you know, looking at people that actually go in that direction, either A, they want out of the marriage and that's their way out because
okay.
they know the other person is going to say, great, now I can leave you.
Right.
Or they're just not in marriage material. And there are
mm-hmm.
a lot of people that are in that category, as sad as that may be. But there
what
are is, people.
What do you mean by that? Not marriage material. What does that
they
mean?
They just, you know, they want the single life. You know,
mm.
they may want to be a father or they may want to be a mother, but in reality, they
deep
don't
down,
want
they
to
don't.
Live together as a husband and
mm.
a wife.
Right.
They
right.
still want to have fun. They still want to go to bars. They still want to go to clubs. They still
mm.
want to, you know, maybe work.
Yeah.
You know, 18-hour days. You know, whatever it is.
Right.
And
right.
I'm not saying anything wrong with that, but then the reality is that they shouldn't get married. You know, you shouldn't be in the dating scene whether you're 20, 30, or 40.
Exactly.
And pretend you're interested in getting married, get married, and then ruin another person
mm-hmm.
because, unfortunately, you really, as you said, it's about compatibility and it's about, you know, being together and working through issues. You can't work through an issue when one person is going into a marriage for one reason and one person is going into a marriage for another reason.
Right.
It usually doesn't work itself out in the end.
Right.
And, you know, it's hard enough as it is to stay married, as we well know.
Yes.
And like I said, if you're able to stay married, that's the better approach, whether you're Orthodox, not Orthodox, you're Jewish, et cetera. I mean,
right.
ideally, that would be the best way. But a lot of the times people, you know, get to the point of divorce because, you know, as we started this conversation, I think they give up too easily. And I think it's sometimes things can work itself out. But sometimes
the stigma, I would think that the stigma is no longer there the way it used to be years ago.
1,000%. I know, like, you know, growing up in the 80s, as they say, you know, you hear about divorce, you know, it's like, oh my God, this person's divorced, and, you know, the stigma attached to it, it was hidden. People didn't want it to be, you know, prevalent. They didn't want people to know about it. Now, you know, I would say people are proud. Oh, gee, you know, label me, I'm divorced. But
yeah, people have divorce parties nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, it's divorce parties. You know, people celebrate the date that they gave a get. You know, the anniversary
right.
of it.
Right, I know that. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I mean, instead of you know celebrating you know marriage anniversaries, you know, it's that's the case. So, absolutely, the stigma is definitely not there. However. Inside the stigma's there, meaning
right.
like as much as the outside world says, oh, gee, you know, as the statistics go, it's mm-hmm. it's more than 50% at this point in time,
right.
You know, in the community. But nonetheless, right. The stigma attached to a guy or a girl that's, you know, divorced, they feel it. As you said, the 22-year-old girl, you know, that's like, oh, my gosh, like,
right.
who's going to want me at 22?
Mm-hmm.
You know, regardless, they do feel it.
They feel it
right. inside.
Right. So we're running out of time, but just so that our listeners understand, what is the difference between mediation and divorce?
Okay, so the difference mediation and litigation is that mediation is a amicable way of getting divorced, meaning I don't represent you. I guide you. I advise you. We talk about the same issues that are addressed in court, the child support, the finances, the equitable distribution, all those kind of things in a much quicker, more efficient manner through sessions.
We're here with Brad Burfus at the Jewish Dating and Family Life Show with Bayla C. Brown. Brad?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, we're going to be wrapping up the show in a few minutes so that our listeners understand what is the difference between between mediation and divorce and litigation.
Okay, so mediation is a process that's a more amicable, friendly type divorce, whereby I don't represent either party. I'm there as a mediator for the purposes of coming to a resolution that works best for the clientele. They're not my clients, it's clientele.
Okay.
And we come to a resolution a lot more quicker, a lot more efficient. You don't have to go to court. We file the paperwork on behalf of you, and at the end of the day, the children that are involved it's a much quicker approach, and the children at the end of the day are the ones that benefit the most, not to mention the spouses that are able to move forward with their lives more accordingly, and it's a cheaper method.
Right.
On the other hand,
so it's emotionally more humane.
Exactly. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And a lot more
okay.
is accomplished as opposed to being in court in a quicker, more efficient manner.
Okay.
On the other hand, litigation, you're usually starting out with a retainer. You're paying
right.
a lot more. Granted, I'm representing you and being zealous, as I do with all my clients, and representing your interests. But regardless of how zealous I am and no matter how much I fight for you, which I do for all my clients,
mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, separate apart from the financial part of the equation, you're dealing with the aspect of it dragging out. It could, you know, some case, you know, divorces could last 3 years, 5 years,
right.
and so forth.
Sure.
But even on the simple cases that are resolved quicker, you're still talking about a year and a half, if not two. And the process of that takes a strain on people. Obviously, we know the emotional strain just going into the divorce process. And if there's a way to, although I love litigating, I love, you know, appearing before a court, et cetera, but at the end of the day, I always tell people, especially cases that are able to be mediated, and granted, you need two like minds to actually sit down and do it amicably
right.
to do mediation. Because at the end of the day, if you're fighting it out, the only people that are gaining from all this, and I tell people all the time, is not necessarily the attorney, but the attorney's children. In my case, my daughter, okay? Because those are the people that are able to benefit, and as much as that's great for me, or any attorney that litigates, the real reality is that if you want to move quicker on in your life, I highly, highly advise to do mediation. If you can't, then try to do litigation and get the right attorney, which hopefully is you decide with me, you know, but at the same time, doing litigation, regardless of if you have to go that route, I tell people all the time to, at some point, you're not going to get everything you want, and you try to compromise to the best of your ability.
Okay.
But, you know, it's something that people need to realize, that if you want to move forward in your life, the mediation is a better approach.
Okay. We're running out of time. The best advice we can give our listeners is stay married if you can, and if God forbid you can't, go see Brad Burfus.
Thank you,
Brad. Thank you, Brad, for joining us tonight. It's been a pleasure, and I hope you'll find the happiness you seek in your life as you help others finish the negative part of their life so they can continue on with the positive side of their life.
Absolutely.
Thank you so very much again for joining, and
You're
have
welcome.
A good night.
You as well. Be
okay.
well.
You
thank
too.
You.
Bye-bye.